Satgirnath Maharaj ki jai. Welcome everybody to a very special program, the Guru Purnima program. And I always like to begin my programs, especially on Guru Purnima, by quoting my guru, Baba Muktananda, who always began by saying in Hindi, Sabko Barisan Mane Kesat, Premse Radik Swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he would always say that the essence of spirituality was to welcome another person with love. So in that spirit, I want to welcome you all. Happy Guru Purnima to you all. Guru Purnima is a special day for me too, because on Guru Purnima 1971, which I worked at is 47 years ago, I got Shaktipat from Baba. I went up on the darshan line and I gave him a gift for Guru Purnima, and he looked in my eyes and I looked in his eyes, and I felt my being sucked up into a kind of an infinite void that his eyes were. Freaked me out. That was my chance. But I pulled back and freaked out and ran off. But in the days succeeding that, I noticed that all kinds of strange things were happening inside my body, movements of energy and so on. And of course, first I thought I was sick. I thought malaria is likely. Then I realized it was Shaktipat. So that was my first Guru Purnima in India. And I was reminded of the early days recently, because I had a surprise visit from an old friend from those days, and that was Krishnadas, who's in Melbourne. There we are. Got another one? So the thing is that when I got to Delhi, I was keen to go to the yogis. I crossed with Girija, my wife then, crossed from Amsterdam all the way to Delhi by Volkswagen bus, and we went into a little cafe on Connaught Circus in Delhi, and there was this guy who was all dressed in white with long hair, and looked Western, and he looked like a follower of Ram Dass. So I said, you know Ram Dass? He said, very well. And I said, I had one other name. I went to India with no names, except this one name, Bhagwan Das, because he was part of Ram Dass's story. But I was convinced that I was going to meet my guru. So go figure. No planning, no brains in any of it, just an inevitability. I said, you know Bhagwan Das? He said, he's right upstairs. And upstairs were a bunch of people, about six or eight, I don't know, and they were waiting for a way to get into the Himalayas to meet Nim Karoli Baba, famous saint, and we had an empty van. So by the next day, we were all driving up to the Himalayas with them all, and Bhagwan Das and Krishnan Das were chanting Sri Ram Jai Ram. And we got up there, we met Ananda Maima, we met Bhagwan Haridas Baba, and we met Nim Karoli Baba. And today, the Ashramites gave me a special gift, which is a pretty faithful replica of the van that I drove to India. Eventually, I sold this to Ram Dass, and then Krishnadas told me that he kept the keys on him. Because we went away. We went back to meet Baba. And we went to study with Haridas Baba. That's what happened. And, oh, I'm getting ahead of my story's out of chronology here. Anyway, eventually sold it to Ram Dass. Krishnadas kept the keys because he wanted to drive Nim Karoli Baba, his guru, in it someday, and finally got his wish. So my van drove Nim Karoli Baba. And it also became immortalized in the literature because it stopped working after I got all the way to Asia in it. And so Nim Karoli Baba said, take it to Delhi. And Krishnadas told me he was the guy that had to take it to Delhi on the back of a truck. And they brought it to a mechanic there, and the mechanic just stuck his hand in and fixed it in 1 second. So, and it went again. So isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And we had a rack on top where we could pitch a tent and sleep on top, or we could sleep inside. And it did great work. Okay. So, and Krishnadas, of course, is a megastar now. He's one of the great chanters that you'll ever encounter. A great soul. And I'll tell you one other story. He clarified for me a story, and I clarified for him. We had two halves of the same story that I in my memoirs, I tell about my time with Nim Karoli Baba and with Haridas. And one of the little incidents I said was later when I was with Baba Muktananda. One time I saw him running across the courtyard, which is very unusual. Ran across the courtyard into the office. And later, you know, I said, what the heck was going on? Said, there was a call from Nim Karoli Baba. And by the time Baba got there, he'd hung up. So I told this to Krishnadas. And Krishnadas said, I can tell you the rest of that story. He said, I was in a hotel room with Nim Karoli Baba, and he said to me, call Muktananda. So I called the ashram. So he was on the other end of the line. Called the ashram and said, Nim Karoli Baba wants to speak to Muktananda Baba. And so somehow they hung up on him. So Nim Karoli Baba said, call him again. So he called again, and that's when they went. He said, don't hang up. Nim Karoli Baba's calling for Baba. And he said, okay, I'll go get him. He was in his apartment. And so that's when he ran across. But in that meantime, Nim Karoli Baba had picked up the phone and said, hello, Muktanand Baba? And nobody was there. He hung up. So I have to revise the story in my book. Isn't that great? So, I'm glad I straightened that out. So, Guru Purnima. I always like to do a special thing on Guru Purnima, which is dip into my secret stash of transcripts of the unedited talks of Baba on his Western tour, and they really give the flavor of what it was like to be with Baba. And this one is from March 1979 at Oakland, California, where Baba had opened an ashram. By March of 79, I was in Devi Matu. We were running the LA ashram. Oakland is in the San Francisco area, so it's, I don't know, 800 miles or something like that north. And I used to go visit there all the time. But this is one of the evening programs from March of 1979. Baba says, and you can figure out what's happening in the first part of the action here, all right? Baba says, with great respect and love, I welcome you all my heart. I also welcome those people who are sitting in the dining hall and are watching me through the television. Don't think that you are new and I am neglecting you. So apparently a whole group of new people came somewhat late and they got shunted into the dining hall where they watched on closed circuit TV, right? My people weren't aware that you're going to come here tonight. If they knew that, they would sit there and they would allow you to sit here. Because they didn't realize that tonight they're here and you are there. Now, if you know what it was like around Baba, you know that they would never, on pain of death, give up their closed seats and give way. But Baba's giving it's what they call a teaching moment. And you'll hear how he repeats it. He says, these people have been with me for a long time, these ones here. Of course, they've learned a lot from me, but they just didn't realize that you were coming here tonight. However, I am watching you too. I welcome you many times. I am waving only for you, not for these people here. Bob is a bit mortified that the newcomers had to sit out, you know. Man should have good thoughts, good understanding, good awareness. Man should also have mundane awareness. He should also know who is old and who is new, who is the family person and who is the guest, and who just arrived and who's been here for a long time. He's frying the close-in people. Of course, in India, one of the great sayings is the guest is God. And so the spirit of welcome is extraordinary. So, man should learn these policies. But anyway, my yoga hasn't included this mundane awareness yet. I haven't taught them all these things yet. If I had taught these people this teaching, then they would allow you to sit here and would sit outside there just for one day. Anyway, we will improve. Once again, with great respect, I welcome you all. Isn't that wonderful? Welcome is done many, many times over and over again because of the self. The Vedas say the self is the highest position. The self is in the sublime position. The Buddhists believe that can be understood by intellect. That means the highest, by buddhi, because the intellect is called buddhi. They believe that you can attain that through the buddhi. They're called Buddhists. Well, it's true that the word Buddha has to do with the intellect. And the word buddhi has come from the East. And here you use another word for the same thing, which is called the mind. So don't start wondering whether you have it or not. So buddhi can also be called the mind. So usually they distinguish between the lower mind and the higher mind, and they call the buddhi like the higher intellect. And the manas is the buddhi would be the part that has abstract thought and also makes decisions, while the lower mind, which just kind of registers impressions, is manas. Anyway, Bob is giving the word buddhi to the mind in general. So the Buddhists say that can be perceived by intellect, by buddhi. The Gita says the knower of the intellect is other than the intellect. He dwells in the intellect and he's beyond the intellect. The one who watches the intellect, often called the witness of the mind, the witness of the mind. He dwells in the mind but is beyond the mind. Baba says man should know that. A psychologist during darshan asked a very beautiful question. He asked, when there's an experience in the heart, how can he tell whether it is the expression of the self or not? The question was just beautiful. The experiences can be right, can be good too. However, you should also try to understand whether they're right or wrong. It's very difficult for the intellect or the mind to make the self manifest as it is. The self manifests according to the quality of the mind, according to the intellect. He's saying that it's very hard under normal conditions to understand the self because it's always filtered through various impurities in the mind. If the intellect is filled with sattva guna, the sattvic or pure quality, then it manifests itself as pure. However, if the intellect is of the quality of tamoguna, which is impure, then it manifests itself as impure. And if the intellect is filled with rajoguna, the pure and impure qualities, then it manifests itself according to these qualities. However, the self is beyond all these gunas or qualities. So many of you know the basic Hindu theory of the three gunas, that all of manifest universe is made up of three strands, three qualities, tamas, rajas, and sattva, often depicted as black, red, and white. White is sattva, or purity, and red is rajas, or activity, and black is tamas, or laziness, sloth, inertia, and that everything is combined of that. And the mind goes through these different things. Sometimes your mind is sattvic and pure, and sometimes it's very active, rajasic, and other times it's tamasic, like that. And everything has these qualities. This is the Hindu psychology. But he's saying that the self is Triguna Tita. Triguna Tita, that's a Swami name, Triguna Titananda. I think I'll give a Swami the name Triguna Titananda. That'd be a mouthful, wouldn't it? Triguna Titananda. One of the Ramakrishna Swamis was called Triguna Titananda, beyond the three gunas, because beyond the three gunas is the pure self. Baba says, in meditation, when the buddhi or the intellect becomes pure due to meditation, knowledge, contemplation, and good actions, it manifests the self as it is, as pure. So we have different karmas, different tendencies that we pick up in life. And because of that, it colors our minds. They can become tamasic or rajasic or so on. But if we do practice, if we meditate, if we contemplate, we purify the mind. And the tamas moves to rajas, the rajas moves to sattva. And once we've retained sattva, we can go even beyond those. Now Baba goes back to his theme. Now this video camera has color, and this one is black and white. Both cameras are taking my picture. Now in this it is color, and in this it is black and white. I am what I am. However, these cameras project their colors, and after projecting their colors on me, they take my picture as they are. And that's what the Buddha does. It's a wonderful analogy, isn't it? The black and white camera sees Baba as black and white. The color camera sees him in color. Has nothing to do with what he is. They're just manifesting their particular set of gunas. So that's what our minds are. They're like technicolor cameras. So the intellect manifests itself, however it manifests itself as it is, as the mind is. So you should always remember that. For this reason, man meditates. For this reason, man performs good actions. For this reason, man wants to have pure thoughts. Man should always remember to have only good thoughts in his mind. This is a key teaching of Baba, to pay attention to the chain of thinking in your mind. Is your mind bringing you up or is it bringing you down? As much as possible, try to understand that you are great. Try to feel that you are great. Don't try to feel that you are great with your ego. Don't twirl your mustache and say, I am great. That's what he goes. I am great. With the pure buddhi, with the pure awareness, the greater you think you are, you will feel so because you are great. The Vedas say the self dwells in the highest position, the sublime position. There is nothing beyond the self. So this was a teaching that Baba gave me also, a wonderful teaching, saying that we should think well of ourselves. In fact, we should understand that there's divinity within us, but it's not the same as pumping up your ego. That kind of inflation is harmful. You're not great because of any particular qualities you have, but because inherently the self is within. That's what he would say. Not because you won this award or that award or did this or did that or had this much money or whatever, but because the self is within you. And everyone has the self within you. He says, when I speak about the self, sometimes I have this tendency to point outside. I say the self exists in the highest position. Don't start looking at the space or at sky. I mean in the heart. People in the dining hall, can you see me? I can see you. You must be listening to me, right? Man should be alert all the time. Tomorrow we're going to have an intensive, and it will continue for 2 days. And from Monday on, once again, I'll see you all here. In the intensive, the particular subject will be discussed. This subject has been discussed by everybody, and this is the major subject, and this is the main subject. This is the main subject of the writers, the reporters, the television interviewers, and the politicians. And is also the main subject of those people who have nothing to do. What is that subject? The guru. The guru. Many people tell me and also ask me different questions about the guru. They say, these gurus have done this thing. Those gurus have done that thing. This guru has done this thing. That guru has done that thing. People call different people the gurus, different characters gurus. If there's a rickshaw rider, do you have rickshaw riders here? You don't have that here? Anyway, it's a vehicle. You know, the rickshaw is like a golf cart. They're all over Asia, taxis. And if you call a rickshaw driver, you call the rickshaw driver a guru. The taxi driver the guru, the food seller a guru. So you call everybody a guru, every character a guru. You really don't know who a guru is. So I decided that instead of explaining to every individual who is a guru what the guru means, I thought it'd be very good to give an intensive on the guru. A guru is called murshid. That's Islam. Who is that guru? It is tomorrow's subject. Now your questions. And I think I figured out what that's about. This is March 1979. The Jim Jones thing. Do you know the Jim Jones? The mass suicide in Guyana happened in November of 78. So that was a few months before. People were all talking about cult leaders and all this stuff. And so that's what Bob is referring to. Now your questions. Okay. Lenny Lyon. I am a new seeker. Is it appropriate for me to attend an intensive if I'm not yet sure if this is the path that speaks to my heart? Baba, if you take this intensive, you'll be quite sure whether this is your path or not. Absolutely, you'll become sure. Another one from Kalyani. Dear Baba, how can a disciple show gratitude to you for bringing great love and peace into my life? Baba, just be happy and in ecstasy. And that's the way you're showing your gratitude. There's no other way. Question. Who am I? What am I here on earth to do? How may I know this? I ask this for this singular me and for all humanity. Baba, well, you're asking a good question. You're asking a question about you. You're asking me who you are. You should have more knowledge about yourself than me. Bob is kidding the person, saying, you know, you should know. You don't ask me, Baba, do I feel warm? Did you do that? Baba, do I feel cold? Anyway, your question's very good. These questions are worth contemplating. And this is called the vichara, the self-inquiry. This is called self-inquiry. Who am I? What is it that I see? Who created all this? What am I supposed to do here? And why did he create all this? So these questions are worth contemplating. Tomorrow and the day after in the intensive, we'll discuss these questions. Yes. So if you come to the intensive, you will receive the complete understanding. Nonetheless, a person should do self-inquiry over and over again. Who am I? And if you do this, you'll receive the answer from within. And when you ask this question, who am I, koham, you'll receive the answer, soham, I am that. You ask koham, who am I? And then the answer is soham, I am that. So who am I? Koham. Soham, I am that. Who made this? He, the one who made it. Why did he create all this? Another question. The answer is so that you can know him and become just the way he is, so that you don't become unaware of yourself and just ruin yourself and just wander here and there. But what is the purpose of life, Baba is saying? Purpose of life is to know who you are. Everything else is just wandering here and there. Everything else is just trivial. To try to find out who you are, to meditate, to contemplate, this is the real purpose of life. And when you start moving in that direction, you go from strength to strength. You know, in married life, a husband and wife give birth to a son. Before or while they were creating the son, what were they thinking of? If one is a judge, he'd think, my son should become a great judge, just as I am. If one is an actor, then he'd think, my son should become a very famous actor. If one is a thief, he would think, my son should be a first-class thief, a pickpocket. Man thinks in this way on hearing different things. In the same way, God must have created you with the awareness that you would think of him all the time. This is called spirituality. Just to know God and become him and be in ecstasy. Eat happily, drink happily, sleep happily, lead your life happily, and leave this world with great joy also. Baba's philosophy. If you know the self, if you connect to that stream of energy, then you can live your whole life with great joy. Another question, Alex. Dear Baba, how does one develop patience? Baba says, through discrimination. Discrimination means a discriminating intellect, to understand what's good, what's bad, what's essential, what's harmful to you, and what's beneficial to you. Not only to know that, but to act on it. A lot of times we know something's bad for us, we do it anyway. But to be able, the power to see what's good for us, which is healthy for us, and then to do that. So this is discrimination. If you have discrimination, then patience develops on its own, and your self-control develops on its own. Without patience or self-control, a person can do nothing. If you don't have the power to bear, then you can't do anything. That means he's equating patience with ability to withstand difficulties in life. That's why yogi wants to have this quality, to be able to stand the different things that happen in life without falling apart. At the Sai Baba temple, not far from here, they have the sign that says Shraddha and Saburi. Shraddha means faith, and Saburi means patience, or the ability to deal with stuff. How good are you at dealing with the stuff that arises in your life? It's a great quality if you can, with certain equanimity. It doesn't mean you're not affected by it. Everyone is affected by adverse things, but it doesn't make you give up and take to your bed or something like that. So you're able to go forward. A great person has to have this patience, this self-control, and his patience and self-control are always tested. If one becomes a devotee, then God always tests his self-control. If you don't have self-control, you're of no use. Then it doesn't matter whether you're a great being or you're a householder or anybody. So you should have self-control. Through meditation and discrimination, you can attain this. As you meditate more and more on the self, you'll have more and more patience and self-control. And the less you meditate on the self, the farther you go away from the self and from patience. If you always contemplate the self, then self-control increases. What is the reason for lack of self-control? Baba says, attachment and aversion, raga dvesha. In the Gita, the Lord says it is desire which turns into anger. When you don't get what you want, you get angry. It is anger which turns into infatuation, which means you get deluded by anger. It's infatuation which turns into delusion, and delusion brings about one's destruction. And Baba says, Johnny writes down more than Amma. You know that? He's commenting. Johnny was a little girl who used to sit right at Baba's feet like a perfect yogini. Now she'd be quite old. But she would write down, she'd be, or pretend to be writing, I don't know. And Amma was Baba's secretary, so he's having a little dig at Amma, I guess. I don't know. And due to desire, lack of self-control increases. If you have more knowledge of the self, then lack of self-control decreases. Then you don't have to attain the power of self-control. It comes and sits inside you and makes its own house inside you. So these are all the great qualities of a yogi. Patience, self-discipline, equanimity, and these come from knowing the self, from meditating, and so on. How are we doing? I lost track, I didn't time this. You want to hear one or two on the guru? And then we'll finish, okay. Question, is it better to find a guru or to follow your own inner image? Baba says, it's difficult to receive guidance from within. Well, actually, it's easy to get guidance from within, but not reliable guidance, because there are different voices that you hear inside, the voice of desire, the voice of fear, the voice of tearing thoughts, self-hatred, and sometimes the true voice. It's hard to distinguish them unless you've been meditating for a long time. The questioner says, then how do you go about it? It doesn't seem that there are many gurus available. Baba said, still you'll find a guru. Once you're ready for a guru, it is God's responsibility to make sure that your guru comes to you in one form or another. Then once I'm aware, I will recognize him. Baba says, if you can, you certainly will. Question. I know that the teacher is within, but sometimes I need someone outside myself to objectify in a way that I can't. I try to see the teacher within, but I think I need someone outside. Baba says, when the inner guru fails you, you should turn to the outer guru. Questioner, I have no outer guru. Baba, if you could become a disciple, you would find many. Question, can there be more than one outer guru? Interesting question, no? Baba says, until you found your guru, you can have any number of other teachers. But once you've found your guru, he'll be the only one. If you haven't found your guru, you'll keep flitting from one teacher to another. But once you've found him, you'll not feel the need to turn to anybody else. Only that one is a guru who can awaken your inner Shakti, who can make you aware of your inner reality, who can awaken your inner being. Until you've found such a guru, you may have to go to many. Okay, two more short ones, all right? Are you okay with this? Question, how am I going to keep in close contact with you after you go? Baba, even when I go away from here, I will not leave your heart. I will be there. I cannot leave your heart. Kundalini Shakti is all pervading. How will you know me? The questioner says. You only saw me three times. Baba says, when you remember me, I will remember you. Question, can it be that you're a Buddha being in our midst and we don't recognize you? Baba says, just by knowing me, nothing will happen. You have to know your own self. Whether you consider me Buddha or Jesus or someone else only shows the greatness of your own heart. Nevertheless, you have to recognize your own inner self. Only that will mean anything. The Supreme Truth that dwells within you also dwells within me, and I am only that. There is nothing else to say about me. In that truth, there is no change, no increase or decrease. Shaivism says that whatever is here is also elsewhere. Kashmir Shaivism says that all is consciousness, and what is ever in one small part of it is in every other part of it, that it's one homogeneous thing. When this is the case, why should a person put himself on a scale thinking he's big or small? The great self, Shiva, is within everybody, and there is no bondage or liberation in that self. There is only purity, and that very self exists within everybody. It is within you and also within me, and that is all we are. Baba says, once again, with great reverence, I welcome you all with all my heart. I am waving this hand for those people who are sitting in the dining hall. He's a great host, Baba, isn't he? He's very keenly aware. It's all for you, he says. Once again, with great respect, I welcome you. Satgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. We'll sit quietly for 5 minutes, and then we'll go back to our own place. But we will sit quietly for 10 minutes, and then we'll go back to our own place. So it's very beautiful to celebrate Guru Purnima. I've had great Guru Purnima. And I'm looking forward to the 50-year anniversary. Okay, so let's meditate now. And the goal of meditation is your deepest self. And what Baba said with so much conviction, so many times, was that divinity lies within us. And because we don't know that divinity, we go up and down with our minds. We go into depression. We go into anxiety. We go into fear. We go into lack. So many things happen. But if we could find that key, that flow that's deep within us, then we could stay in a state of peace and a state of joy all the time. And with a little effort, we can find that. It's not that difficult to get in touch with that place. And that place is the Guru. It's the Guru within, which is the same as the Guru without. So let's meditate on the self, on our true essence, for 10 minutes. If you like, you can use the mantra of our lineage, Om Namah Shivaya, and repeat it, and let other thoughts disappear. Om Namah Shivaya. Can you play it for a minute or two? And we'll meditate now for 10 minutes. Satgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai.